Frank Muir goes into advertising and investigates the humor of the profession with the help of Alfred Marx.
A fellow thought he'd like to go into business, and so he opened a delicatessen shop in the heart of London, Soho, and unfortunately he opened it opposite an Italian delicatessen who'd been established for about 75 years. This chap, undaunted, however, looked at the scene, put a board out and wrote in it, salami, 65 pence. Cross it through and put 50 pence. The old chap at the Italian delicatessen, obviously, who'd been there 75 years, notices, and he put out a board, and he wrote salami, 65 pence, struck it through and put 50 pence. The first chap went, huh? He crossed his room, put 30 pence. The Italian put up 20, and this went on all day. Eventually, the Italian came over and said, listen, mister, I don't know who you are or what you think you do, but if we go on like this, we're both going to be bankrupt. He says, you'll be bankrupt. I don't sell salami. Samson really had the right idea about advertising. He took two columns and brought the house down. On the same theme, Moses parted the Red Sea and said to the Israelites, cross. And the head of the Israelites said, no. He said, what do you mean, no? I've parted the Red Sea, cross. He said, no. He said, you've got a cross. I've taken a page in the Bible. Then there was the man who advertised for a wife and got 100 replies, most of them from men who wrote, you can have mine. Fellow walking through the East End of London came up against a cafe and saw a notice outside. It said, coffee threepence, coffee with milk sixpence, but coffee ninepence. Went inside and said to the proprietor, what's that sign outside? Coffee threepence, coffee with milk sixpence, but coffee ninepence. Fellow said, no. Coffee threepence, coffee with milk sixpence, but coffee ninepence. We stock four sizes in brassieres. Small, medium, and God blimey! The creative director was sent for by his boss. You've lost us the Thompson account. You're fired. Hand in your ulcer. Two men in a beat-up old sports car. The car was stopped by a traffic policeman. I'm booking you for driving this vehicle at a speed of 42 miles per hour. The driver leaned out and whispered to the policeman, can you make that 142 miles an hour? I'm trying to flog it. A watch was advertised as lasting a lifetime. Actually, it ran for 6 months, then the mainspring snaps and slashes your wrist.
On the whole, we're wary of people in advertising because we're afraid that they're going to sell us something we don't want at a price we can't afford. Here's a thought on advertising from Dr. Johnson.
Promise. Large promise is the soul of an advertisement.
Yes, it's the promise bit that's worrying, really, isn't it? So, I mean, suppose the promise isn't fulfilled. We've all at one time or another been fooled by advertisements, and that's why we enjoy jokes about advertising. George Bernard Shaw said,
all professions are conspiracies against the laity.
And Stephen Leacock wrote,
advertising, the science of arresting the human intelligence long enough to get money from it.
The profession did actually find a defender in Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, but his compliment was rather backhanded.
Advertisements contain the only truth to be relied on in a newspaper.
Honesty is not invariably attributed to people in advertising. There's a story of a client and an obsequious ad man. The client said, here, Harrison, what's the time? And the ad man replied,
what time would you like it to be?
The trouble is that people who have the knack of selling to the public can sell absolutely anything.
Now then, Mr. Simpson, that was it. You came to me to advertise your washing powder.
String,
washing powder, what's the difference? We can sell anything, you know.
Oh, good. Yeah. You see, I've got this 112,000 miles of string.
Yeah.
And I thought if we mounted a national campaign...
National campaign? What a marvellous idea. Well, there's no trouble there. Very useful stuff, string, you know.
Yes, there's just one snag, you see. Yes. Due to bad planning, this 112,000 miles of string is in 3-inch lengths.
You see, it's not really very useful.
Three and six, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be our selling point. Simpson's individual stringettes.
What?
Yes, the Now string. Ready cut, easy to handle, Simpson's individual emperor stringettes. Just the right length.
For what?
Oh, 100 household uses.
Such as?
Tying up very small parcels. Attaching notes to pigeons' legs. Or destroying household pests.
Destroying household pests, how? Huh?
Yeah, well, if they're bigger than that, you can strangle them. And if they're smaller than that, you can flog them to death with them.
Surely.
No, destroy 99% of known household pests with pre-sliced, rust-proof, easy-to-handle, low-calorie Simpsons individual emperor stringettes, free from artificial colouring, as used in hospitals.
Hospitals?
Have you ever been in a hospital where they don't use string?
No, but I mean, after all, it is only string.
Only string? It's got everything. It's waterproof.
It isn't.
Well, it's water-resistant.
It isn't.
Well, then it's non-waterproof. It's super-absorbent string. Absorb water with Simpsons individual water-absorbent stringettes. Away with floods.
But you just said it was waterproof.
Away with the dull drudgery of floods and workaday tidal waves. Use Simpson individual flood preventers.
You're mad!
Shut up. Now listen, see. Let's see. Sex. We must get sex into this. I know. We'll have a television commercial. You see, there's this nude woman sitting in the bath holding a bit of your string. That's very good. Now, we want a doctor in there. Must get the medical opinion, you see. So we'll have a doctor in the bath with a nude woman, and they're both holding a piece of string. No. That's too sexy. Much too sexy. I know. We'll have an archbishop standing watching them. That'll take the edge off it. Yeah. We've got the archbishop in the bath with a nude woman. They're both holding a bit of string, and the doctor standing there. Now then, we should want animals and children. So there's two children admiring the bit of string, and a little dog admiring the archbishop. How's that? And the archbishop is blessing the string. Now, we must get an international flavour. International flavour into this. I know. Make him a Greek Orthodox archbishop. That's it. Why not Archbishop Makarios? Yes. So we've got Archbishop Makarios in the bath with a nude woman and the doctor and the two dogs and the children. Oh, we won't have dogs. We'll have an ostrich. It's more international. You see? And then Archbishop Makarios comes forward very sexily, dripping wet, out of the bath, and he says, prevent household floods with Simpson's individual nude women. The international passport to not tying pleasure. Destroys 99% of household pests.
You're mad. Out of your mind.
No, we can't do that. That's Pritchard's instant custard advert.
Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett. It's part of the job of the advertiser to make the public aware of needs they didn't know they had. And the public has to be convinced that they're positively benefiting by making a purchase. But sometimes the urgency of hard sell means that the advertiser says something he doesn't quite mean. Here are some EGs.
Our nerve tonic drives away nervy symptoms, gives power of brain and body, leaves behind irritability, indigestion, rheumatism, neuralgia, and hysteria.
There are unbelievable bargains until you see them in ladies' shoes and stockings.
Prices slashed, drastic sweep out of a famous manufacturer's samples of quality gloves, hardly two alike.
Sign above an optician's. Eyes tested while you wait.
Sign above a chemist's shop. We dispense with accuracy.
Those small ads, the small ad pages can be of great comfort. There are always lots of remedies for personal problems. Little notices which promise to remove unsightly hair, reduce your paunch, develop your bust, or the other way around. I wonder what happens if you actually follow one of them up.
I was looking through the newspaper the other day, and I saw a little advertisement that was very rude. A very rude little advertisement. It said, "Are you spotty?" There was a nasty man pointed his finger out at you and said, "Are you spotty?" I don't think people should be allowed to say, "Are you spotty?" just like that. You don't buy a newspaper to have people say, "Are you spotty?" to you. I mean, if you are spotty, you know you're spotty. You don't want people telling you you're spotty or asking if you're spotty. And if you're not spotty, why should people imply you're spotty by saying, "Are you spotty?" I don't think people should be allowed to say, "Are you spotty?" just like that. I've got a very spotty friend. He's called Arthur Muldoon. He's covered in spots. He's got spots all over him. He's a very spotty person. People call him Spotty Muldoon because of his spots. He wasn't christened Spotty, of course. He was christened Arthur, but people call him Spotty, and when he goes out for a walk, people come up to him in the street and say, "Hello, aren't you a spotty one there?" Of course, it gets Arthur down being so spotty, and he saw an advertisement which said, "Are you spotty? Are you very spotty? Are you unbelievably spotty? Tick in the right box. And enclose 5 shillings. Well, poor old Arthur didn't know what he was, so he came round to me and asked which he was, spotty, very spotty, or unbelievably spotty. And I told him he was somewhere between very spotty and unbelievably spotty. So he wrote in saying he was almost unbelievably spotty. He wrote in saying, "I am almost unbelievably spotty. I enclose 5 shillings. And he got a letter back saying, "Bad luck."
Peter Cook as E.L. Whisty. Advertising's had a noticeable effect on our language. It has helped to debase a lot of words, particularly superlatives, and to change meanings, words. Estate agents have earned a reputation for putting the English language through the mangle. In their joke image, they never use an ordinary word where they can find a more imposing one. And their advertisements sometimes need translation. Alfred, if you read an advertisement, I'll translate as you go along. Right, go.
Unique opportunity to purchase.
We are having difficulty in selling.
An interesting.
An ugly.
Compact.
Very small.
Cottage style.
Pokey.
Residence in need of a little enhancement.
House which is falling down.
Situate.
Situated.
An exclusive quiet area.
A hell of a long way from the shops and public transport.
This unique property.
This house, which is just like all the others in the road.
Comprises spacious hall, 2 recep, 3 bedooms and mod kit.
Comprises small hall, 2 reception rooms, 3 bedrooms and moderately squalid kitchen.
And many preserved period features.
No bathroom and an outside loo.
Phil.
Phil, accommodation must be bought and sold, and advertising in the paper is a very useful way of doing it. You don't have to say much.
For sale, honeymoon cottage, sleeps 3.
And when you... That conjures up, doesn't it? When you're desperate to find somewhere to live, you may be a little careless in your choice of words.
A working single lady wants digs. Must have bath urgently.
Mind you, as the 2 Ronnies pointed out, a lady in a bath is a good way of selling anything. Sex is very much part of the advertising business, which is supposed to be full of beautiful models ready to throw off their clothes at the drop of a camera shutter.
Miss Hargreaves. Ready when you are. Oh, we can't start till you till you're in the bath, can we? Yes, it's for the commercial for soap. The agency told you soup. I do assure you it is soap. Bath soap. Yes, well, people don't take a bath with their clothes on, do they? Yes, I realise it's extra money for taking your clothes off, but I'm sure the firm would be happy to pay the extra. And if they won't, I will. I'll have a whip round amongst the lads here, you see. Oh, only the essential technicians will be here, my dear, as you can see, like the car park attendant and the canteen manager. Yes, well, don't worry, dear, because you will be under the soapy water most of the time, you see. Harry will put his hand in and froth the water all up before you get in, dear, yes. Well, of course, if it goes flat while you're in it, we'll just have to rely on Harry's self-restraint, won't we? Yes, he will be holding the handheld camera on your back most of the time, you see. Only towards the end will he come round and hold it on your face. Yes, it will be on your face. It may be shaking a little, but it will be on your face, you see. Yes? Well, if any scenes get in there that are a little bit too risque, don't worry, we will cut them out and file them, throw them away. You will, fine. Will you go and change? Righto, Harry, would you froth up the water? No, do it now, Harry. That's lovely. Right, Miss Hargreaves. Right, you are in the bath. That's lovely. Oh, you are a big girl, aren't you? Just one thing, Miss Hargreaves. Would you mind taking your dressing gown off? Flop it over the side. That's lovely. All right, Harry, there's no need to froth up the water. It's frothy... You dropped your pen in there. Well, we'll just have to leave it till later, won't we? Here we go. Now, take one. That's lovely. Now, pick up the soap, dear. Cut, cut. There's no need to stand up, Miss Hargreaves. Well, why did you stand up? You found Harry's pen. You can give it to him afterwards. Right, oh dear. Here we go now. Take two. That's it. Crab round. Pick up the salt. Hold it up. Hold up the soap. Right, cut. Oh, splendid. Thank you, Miss Hargreaves. You can go and change now. Oh, excuse me. Hello? Yes? Oh, I see. All right, thank you. You'll never believe this, Miss Hargreaves. But it was soup. Yes.
Benny Hill. There's an old advertising rule for cameramen making nude commercials.
Never shoot till you see the whites of their thighs.
Television has opened out the field of advertising. All those insistent commercials on television have become part of our culture. Comedy shows and pantomimes are full of jokes about them. Making commercials is big business.
There is a story of a trade union official being shown around a film studio where an enormous Shakespearean epic is being made with a large cast in costume and an enormous castle built specially for the film. "What's all this in aid of?" he asked. "We're making a film of Hamlet," came the reply. "Hamlet? It's a lot of money to spend on a cigar commercial."
Alas, poor Erwick. Commercials are out to sell, and so they present a rather idealised view of life.
Perhaps one day, they'll get around to really honest commercials. Remember, nothing acts faster than Ainley's indigestion powder, so try nothing. New white cram is great for washing machines. It's no good for washing clothes, but it's great for... Mackenzie's peas pudding has that locked-in aroma. It has to be locked in once it got out and killed Mackenzie. Seriously, though, folks. Remember, drink Horlicks before you go to sleep. Otherwise, you'll probably spill it.
David Frost. The making of commercials is an elaborate process, often made more elaborate by the fact that representatives of the product being sold are present and adding their advice to that of the director. For instance, in the matter of the voice-over, you'd be surprised how many ways there are of saying perfectly simple slogans. And some of the ways sound a bit wrong. Here's one for a firm of footwear consultants we will discreetly call Dr. Smith's.
"If you think your feet are bad, you should see Dr. Smith's."
Now, some more thoughts on commercials from Round the Horn.
Now, this week, the colour supplement turns its attention to commercial television, where the high quality of the entertainment is often spoiled by those annoying little interruptions, which we call programmes. Now, a lot of people underestimate the power of the television commercial. We'd buy fertiliser if they advertised it often enough, and judging by the cereal I had for breakfast, they already have done. People would buy anything that was advertised on TV, even water.
I'm standing in the kitchen of Mrs. Proudbasket's council house in Slough Backs. 3 weeks ago, we asked her to take part in an experiment with her washing. Mrs. Proudbasket, you washed these shirts here in water, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And they come up lovely, shining bright.
Now, before that, you tried doing the family wash in different products.
Oh, yes, yes, I did. I washed them first in sulfuric acid. Porridge. And cocoa, but they never come up like this. And look at my hands. They are so soft and white now. Not like when I used sulfuric acid.
Yes, women everywhere are turning to water containing the magic ingredient H2O.
Whatever the pleasure, water completes it.
And remember, water contains 99% of all known germs.
Philip rang to say he'd be home late from the office. I had nothing in the larder except for some rubbishy beef cubes. Luckily, there was plenty of water in the house.
Hello, Katie, darling, I'm home. What's for dinner?
A beef cube in hot water. Philip! What are you doing with that gun? Oh, water gives a meal man appeal.
In our little village, we know a thing or two about water. A drop of good stuff, that is. Water. But what do I know? I'm just a bucolic old theatre owner. Full of honest goodness, that. That looks good. That tastes good. By golly, it is good. If you put enough gin in it.
Round the horn. The people who actually word the commercials, the copywriters, are usually caricatured as quick-talking and dynamic.
Advertising agencies have a typewriter in nearly every office.
It's nervy work, too. Here's another definition of an advertising man.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Ulcer.
Copywriting is a skilled job. You realize this when you read the efforts of amateurs in the small ad columns. Here are some examples of amateur copywriting from Situations Vacant.
Daily morning housework, wanted at once, temporarily respectable person.
Potted meat factory, wanted urgently, woman for boiling down.
Wanted in January, experienced schoolmaster to take almost entire responsibility for the lowest form of boys.
Time now for our commercial break. Back in a trice.
It's green. It's new. It's crisp. It's the pound sterling. Designed to fit your pocket.
Mm-hmm. A product of the mint with the hole in it.
Remember, there's a promise in a pound note.
Hello. I am the Snibbo Research Director. Now, last week, I told you about Multi-Snibbo, the simple cure for everything. Now, since the announcement of this incredible product, the response has been quite staggering. We've had a most gratifying number of testimonials from every quarter. Hear first what Mrs. Clodge has to say.
For 48 years, I have been a martyr to blushing. No anyone looked at me or spoke to me. I could feel the colour suffusing my face, neck, forehead, arms, and legs. I tried Multi-Snibbo. And I can now converse freely with all my friends without blushing.
Hear now what the Reverend E. Clark Fundle has to say.
17 of my little boy's freckles have completely disappeared.
Even in faraway devices, the praises of Multi-Snibbo are sung. Hear Mr. G. Sturgeon on the subject.
I tried Snibbo on the door of my potting shed. It has never squeaked since.
Yes, use Multi-Snibbo for teeth and gums and other ornaments.
Bombay ice cream, flavor of the month, curry.
A peer was stalking a roebuck in a misty Scottish glen. Bang went his well-charged rifle. A miss, then bang again. Two misses, roared his lordship, as his stockings trailed in the wet. Serves me right for not wearing a thoroughbred garterette.
When you're banging away in the heather.
Commercials from Michael Benteen's Square World and the world of Beachcomber. Many modern playwrights have come up through advertising copywriting, and this prompted the New Statesman to hold a competition imagining distinguished playwrights providing television commercials. One of the winners, Leslie Johnson, came up with this scene. Shakespeare selling pools coupons.
Hello,
Good sir, be not misprized upon mine errand. I would bespeak you as congenerous with our fraternity. Mark the schedule.
I do, sire.
Nay, your pardon, 'tis as yet unmarked. But mark you, being marked aright, with due engagement to dispatch your stake esse night hence, 'twill fetch you argosies and that sans parlor quillet. Stay, good sir, set your character upon these dots, and you shall prove my words veridical.
One X doth tread upon another's heels, and so my crosses make for me a crown. 10,000 ducats at a cost of one. This pool's no puddle. 'Tis a springing well. O worthy canvasser, I give thee thanks for meeting out that pregnant sheet of blanks. As narrow streams to mighty rivers flow, so forests vast from little woods can grow. The alternative to getting the best copywriters to sell a product is to get a famous face to endorse it.
So this is Sir Laurence Olivier. He's agreed to do a commercial, and the money will be donated to his favorite charity. And he walks into the studio, and it goes like this. I'm awfully sorry. I was detained, so I haven't had a chance to look at the script. Do I just read the cards? Is that on? And you shoot me? Is that with the camera? Fine. Yeah, no, that'll be fine. Fine. All right, you want to start your cameras? Fine, thank you very much. Hello, I'm Sir Laurence Olivier. You were probably very relieved, as I was, to hear that you need no longer suffer from irregularity. could we hold the cameras just a moment? I didn't know it was going to be on this, you see. It says make a face. What kind of face am I making? Well, you see, I don't have it, you know, so I don't... I really wouldn't know what kind of face to make, you see, in that situation. Well, none of my friends have it, as far as I know, and I've certainly never brought it up, although the occasion, you know, in conversation, it really doesn't present itself, does it? So I wouldn't know the face then. I had no idea it was going to be on this, you see. I'm sort of endorsing it, and I'm sure it's a tremendous boom, you know, for people who have it. They probably feel wonderful after this, whatever you do with them. But I just don't feel it would be in good taste. All right, we can try another. I'm trying to think of the children the money is going to. Yes, but I just keep seeing this, you know. No, we can try it again. Yes, yes. I think you, probably like I, will be relieved. Could we change that word? I think that's an unfortunate word.
Bob Newhart brings this half hour to a finish. Next week we're going into the church. At least I am. Alfred's waiting for a dispensation from the chief rabbi. So, until then, goodbye.
Frank Muir Goes Into Advertising was produced by Simon Brett and Bob Oliver Rogers.